Hey, well, good morning, everybody, and I am excited to be able to jump into week two of our series, Revolutionary Prayer. We're calling the church to prayer. We are wanting to be people of prayer. We're saying along with the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, that no matter how long you have been praying, there is still more to learn. We want to be people of prayer and learn more about prayer. And we want to do this because prayer is needed and prayer works. We are in a interesting season, as Cody mentioned, and there's lots of complicated issues and lots of hurting people and division and misunderstandings and all these things that are happening. And how could any one of us solve those problems? If we had time to commit to solving these complicated world issues or national issues, how could we? But we don't know the answers exactly how to solve them. If we did, we should get to work on those. But one thing we definitely can do is we can all pray. We can all seek God regularly. We can pray revolutionary kind of prayers where we're asking God to come into our world and work on our behalf in a dramatic way. And that's what we're doing when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We are asking God to make things right. We are asking God to correct the brokenness in the world. We're asking God to come in and bring peace to hurting people and solve these massive, complicated problems that we are all aware of and all dealing with. I found a quote today that I just thought was fantastic, that when we're thinking about this idea of prayer working, right? If you think about the most complicated issue you can think about that our world is dealing with, you know, whatever, you might answer that question differently than someone else in this room. Like, what is the biggest problem in the world? And we struggle with solving some of these big issues. We know that prayer will work where nothing else has. Even if you're thinking about a relationship that you have someone in your life that relationship is just severed between you and them. And you feel like reaching out to them would be very complicated and they would be maybe make things worse. You know, every time I've tried to solve this problem in the past, it's gotten worse with this person, and I just really have this sense of tension between you and another person. And you go, I don't know how to solve this. What we can all do with those situations, whether that's interpersonally or worldwide, is we can bring them before the throne of heaven and ask for God to help. There's a guy named Sidlow Baxter that said this: men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. I love that. You can't stop me from praying for you. Right, no matter what the situation is, like we can pray about it, and we believe that really does make a difference. And so we want to be motivated by, not by shame, not by embarrassment. And here's the part of the sermon where I ask you, have you been praying the Lord's Prayer every day? And then some of you go, oh, I haven't. I'll start today. We don't want to be motivated by shame or guilt necessarily in our prayer life. We want to be motivated by desperation, by urgency, because you are at your best in prayer when you are desperate. When you just like really need God to come through for you in some way, like you pray your best in those situations. And so we want to tap into that sense of urgency, maybe that sense of desperation to pray these big prayers over the next 5 weeks. Specifically, we're praying the Lord's Prayer. We're using it as a model prayer because it's a complete, perfect prayer given to us by Jesus for his disciples to pray. And we can use it either as a model or as a map. We talked about that last Sunday, that using it as a model is you just use those words and you pray them and you mean them yourself, and that it becomes your prayer. And that's what we're seeking to do during this series. Or you can use it as a map where you just phrase by phrase, as you go through the prayer, you use it as a starting point. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then you launch off and pray along those lines for a while. And then you come back to the prayer and then you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then pray about that for a little while and then come back to it. So that would be using it as a map. I'm encouraging you all during this series to every day find a point in your day where you pray the Lord's Prayer and where you mean it, right? Where you take that time to just put some effort and energy, and it could take a minute or less, often takes a minute or less. And I try to do this in the morning, and I've also encouraged you, if you're physically able, mobile enough to do this, to do it while kneeling, because I think it's helpful for us as a practice, to a physical reminder that we are praying. So we believe that this prayer is a call for God to break into this world, and we really, really need him to do that. We really need God to work in a major way in our world, and we believe that prayer works. So now, that just so you know what to expect for the course of this series, every week we're going to go through phrase by phrase. So there's five more Sundays, counting this one, of this series, and we're going to look at the phrase for the week. So this week it is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's we'll spend the whole sermon talking about what those mean and look at another passage of scripture that will help us understand what that means. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and then in a little bit we're going to be in Romans 8, so you can prepare for that. In your Bibles there, we'll start in Matthew 6, as I mentioned, and then get to Romans 8. Let me dial it up here. Matthew 6, there we go. The ribbon was there. Perfect. We're doing this phrase-by-phrase long look at the Lord's Prayer together because one of the things that Jesus cautioned us against, we're going to read in verse 7, which is where we're going to start, which is, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, thinking they will be heard because of their many words. We want the phrases of the Lord's Prayer to be meaningful to us, and we want this whole prayer to be really, really impactful, and I think that as we take this long look at the Lord's Prayer over these next few weeks, it will become even more meaningful. We're going to understand it better than before, and it will impact even the way we pray those words in our own personal practice. So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 7, and then we're going to end with our phrase for the day in verse 9. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, why does the prayer start with those words? That's what we're going to talk about for our time this morning. Well, one just really basic answer is that a prayer has to start somewhere, right? You have to start a prayer in some way. It's maybe, "Dear God," or "Please help," or whatever your prayer would normally start as. This model prayer given by Jesus starts with this recognition of God being our Father in heaven. So Father in heaven, we're going to talk kind of phrase by phrase. First, let's talk about Father in heaven, then we're going to talk about hallowed be your name. Father in heaven, this idea, this concept of seeing God as our Father in heaven is profound. Jesus is communicating significant amounts of information by starting the prayer off this way. He's talking about our new identity. He's talking about who God is. William Barclay, a pastor and writer, said that thinking of God as our Father could be considered a concise summary of the Christian faith. Like, just, you could sum it all up in that idea that we can talk to God as our Father. Jesus, through his ministry and through his death, burial, and resurrection, fundamentally changed the way that humanity could relate to God. That before, there was this just implicit distance between us and God. And if you look at even the way that Jewish people would pray typically during Jesus' time, it was not unusual to refer to God as the Father, but to claim some kind of personal connection, as in "my Father," that was profound. That was different. That was, Jesus told his followers, because of what he was there to do, that they could talk to God this way. You can call God your Father and speak to God in this way. And this is the way Jesus prayed, and we get to pray like Jesus prayed. If you think about all the different religions around the world and then historically the way people have viewed the gods, there's in Hinduism or the Shinto religion over in Japan, there's this idea of these very many gods. There's so many of them. And many of them are not very fond of humans, right? They're kind of spooky. They're kind of scary. They're not big fans of people. If you ever studied Greek mythology, you get that sense as well, that people are kind of they're not thought of well by gods. Gods are sort of scary when it comes to their interactions with humans. And Jesus says, hey, the way we relate to our God is totally different from that. You don't need to be terrified of God. You can relate to him as your Father. God's orientation towards us is as father to child, beloved child, right? Good father and beloved child. That is the way God relates to us and thinks about us because of Jesus. And I want to talk for a moment about how do we get there? Like, how does anybody become God's child, right? That is not something that we are born into. That is something that we are reborn into. The Apostle Paul reflects on this idea in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 16, where he uses the metaphor of adoption to talk about what God has done for us. So Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16 go like this. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It says you've received, when you come to Christ, when you begin a relationship with Jesus, you are given the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is this, helps us understand who we are in God, that it is by that Spirit of adoption that we can cry out, Abba, Father. And Abba in the Jewish culture would have just been, still today in Israel, if you hear a little kid talking to their dad, Abba, Abba, right? It's like daddy. It's a very familiar, very close, very affectionate way of speaking to your father. The other part of this phrase, though, that's significant is that he is our Father and he is in heaven. And I think these two concepts together, this kind of affection and love that God has towards us as his Father and us as his beloved children, and the fact that he is in heaven, these two concepts together are profound. In fact, theologians call this the transcendence and the immanence of God. And we're going to spend a few moments talking about what those two words mean. Transcendence and immanence of God. Transcendence has to do with the fact that God is beyond us, that the Creator God, that He fills the world and He is huge and powerful. It's all these omni things, right? He's omnipresent, omnipotent, and is all knowing, all these things that are true about God. He is transcendent, He is far beyond us. Like He is God and we are not. And the gap between us and God is substantial. He is transcendent. But then that's not the only thing that's true about him. He's also immanent. And that means that he is with us. That means he is connected to us. That means that he wants to be in relationship with us. And so both of these ideas, the transcendence of God has to do with the fact that he's our Father in heaven, and the immanence of God has to do with the fact that he is our Father, that we can be close to him, that we can relate to him in this way. And J.I. Packer, theologian and writer, and wrote really profoundly about relating to God. And he talks about how important it is for us to think of God in both of these ways. He's our Father and he's in heaven. He is immanent and he is transcendent. Both of these ideas are kind of mind-blowing, hard to wrap our minds around, but they're important for us to think about. He says our mind needs to follow two roads and follow along these two paths in order to really grasp these ideas. Because if you had God, the all-powerful God, but just complete distance from God relationally, then you would feel distant all the time. You'd feel like God is very powerful and I'm not sure how he feels about me. But the fact that we have this power plus the relational connection is really, really profound. There's an old story of a Roman emperor who was triumphantly entering back into Rome after some great victory in battle. And the emperor is leading this big procession of troops, and it's this incredible thing. There's the banners, and the royal family is sitting on a stage and watching the whole thing, and the empress is there seeing her husband come back, and all these legionnaires and all the shiny military armor, and it's this incredible procession that's coming through the city of Rome, this amazing, majestic city. And as the people are lined up to view this parade, there's a little boy that is, he sees the emperor coming in the chariot, and he begins to weave his way through the crowd because he wants to get right up next to the chariot where the emperor is. And one of the legionnaires stops him and says, "What are you doing?" He picks up this little boy and he says, "Hey, you can't just run up to the emperor in the chariot. That's the emperor. You can't run out there." And the little boy kind of laughed and he said, "He may be your emperor, but he's my Father." And that's the way a Christian feels towards God. He is not this distant, disconnected idea. He is someone that we can be close to, someone that we can relate to. as a father. It's both of these two ideas together, power and this relational closeness, that forms this incredible combination. He's our father and he's in heaven. Those two things are amazing. So J.I. Packer goes on to talk about how we can think about this, and he says this: let your thoughts move to and fro like an accelerating pendulum, taking ever wider swings. He's my father and he's in heaven. He's God in heaven and he's my father. It's beyond belief, but it's true. Grasp this, or rather let it grasp you. Then tell God what you feel about it, and that will be the worship that our Lord wanted to evoke when he gave us this thought pattern for the invocation of the one who is both his father and ours. So in other words, when you think about this, we all need to ask ourselves what we think about when we think about God. Because how you pray really reveals what you believe to be true about God. When you come to God in prayer and you begin your prayer, you are revealing what you truly believe as you speak those words to God. And we need to have this mindset in our mind about who God is, that God is for you. That God's not annoyed by you, right? God is your loving Heavenly Father. Your picture is in his wallet. God loves you. He is the loving Heavenly Father. Yes, he is imminent. He is in heaven. He is both of these things. At the same time, I know that this part of the prayer and this truth about God being our Heavenly Father is difficult for some of you watching online, some of you maybe in this room. And it's difficult because so much of our concept of father is formed by the father that you had growing up, for good or for bad. Someone once said, a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. In other words, that there are a lot of people in this world who really struggle with this concept of God as father because they didn't know their father, or they had a really broken relationship with their father, or just have no concept of father. That's not something that they had in their lives. And I think the reason why this is the case, the reason why so many people struggle in this area, is because fatherhood itself, as an idea and as a concept, is under attack by the enemy. And I think the reason why it's under attack is because it's so important. Because Satan knows that this kind of affects the way we think about God, this child-to-father relationship. And that's why your role, dads, in this room is so important as well. You help your kids understand God as their father by the way that you relate to them. And so we need to pray for our dads, for one, and we also need to be aware of the fact that some people struggle with this idea. And I hope that if that is you, if you struggle with the concept of God as father, that you could find some healing and some hope in this idea of seeing that God is your Heavenly Father who is for you, who is predisposed towards you, who loves you, and meets those needs that maybe your earthly father never met. Right? That he loves you that way. So all of this up to this point that we've been talking about in this prayer, Father in heaven, this is the address, and now we get to the first request. So this is how scholars that write about the Lord's Prayer talk about this. This is the address is how the prayer begins, and then there's several requests that go through the prayer. And now we're going to get to the first request, which is, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Sunday school teacher wrote that, my Sunday school class of youngsters had some problems repeating the Lord's Prayer, but they didn't lack an imagination. One child prayed, our Father who art in heaven, how'd you know my name? I like that. I can understand a child not being able to understand the word hallowed. This is not a word we typically use. If you memorize the Gettysburg Address, then you learned this word at one point, this hallowed ground. We typically use this word when we talk, only when we say the event that's coming up later in the week, right? Halloween, right? It's in that word as well. It's this idea of holding something in high regard, recognizing that something is special about something. And so it would have been this hallowed evening, All Saints Day, where is how it ended up being a part of the name of Halloween. But it's this concept of holding something in high regard, holding it up as special. This is special. This is hallowed. And specifically what we want to be hallowed is we want God's name to be hallowed. Like, hallowed be your name. What are we saying? What are we praying when we pray that? Right? When you think of a name, you don't think of just the words, like this abstract concept, you know? When I think of my children, I think of their names. I don't think of a word. I think of the person that that name embodies, right? And that is true about God as well. His name is what stands for everything about him. His name is the just all of God. And it's interesting to me that that is our first request in the Lord's Prayer. It's entirely focused on God. It's like, God, I want everyone to know how amazing you are. And I want everyone to hallow your name. I want people to hold you in their hearts and in their thoughts as holy and special. And it's this as well, definitely this concept of worship comes out in this part of the prayer. That we ourselves are hallowing God's name and we're lifting him up and saying he is worthy of any glory and worship and praise that we might direct towards him. Hallowed be your name. There's something about when your prayer life revolves around not just praying for your own needs, your own concerns, your own things that you're going through, but I think a sign of maturity in prayer is that we pray multidimensional prayers. So ones that are about other people's needs as well, and then ones that are focused on God. And there's people in this church that I've prayed with before and that's notable about them where they worship God in prayer. And it's so just amazing that you can do more than just bring your request before God. In fact, you're better prepared to bring your request to God when you've spent a few moments worshiping him or when you're focused on him. You begin to understand what you really need and you're ready to ask for help and to bring these requests before God when you've spent time focusing on who God is and what he's all about and wanting other people to know him as well. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying that everyone, everywhere, that everything would fulfill their created purpose. Because this is what we are created for. We're created to worship God. We're created to glorify God. We're created to recognize him as special and amazing, and we're fulfilling our created purpose. We're praying that our created purpose will be fulfilled when we pray those things. Now, I've got a little secret at this point in the sermon that I'd like to get to, and it's this. I did not start the prayer off with the correct first word. Did anyone notice that? I said Father in heaven, but there's actually another word that comes before the word Father. What is it? Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The reason why we start off that prayer hour is because this is a prayer we pray. This is a prayer, this is not a me prayer, this is a we prayer. And did you notice in the Lord's Prayer, if we go through it, all of the words are plural. All of the pronouns or whatever are plural. This is what it would sound like if it wasn't plural, right? It'd say, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. And forgive me my debts, as I also have forgiven my debtors. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That sounds totally different than what you've heard all this time, right? That is a fundamentally different prayer if we're praying it just as individuals. And it's important that we get this reminder that we, as followers of Christ, this is a team sport. This is not the individual sport, right? This is not just about you and God. And we do ourselves a disservice sometimes when we think about faith purely on these individual terms. A phrase I've said countless times is personal relationship with God. I want you to have a personal relationship with God. And that's true. We do want you to have a personal relationship with God. But we don't think of it in terms, exclusive terms. We people have gotten the impression that their relationship with God is just about them and God. When you come into God's family, you come in with siblings, right? You have brothers and sisters, countless brothers and sisters around the world that are a part of your family. So when we pray, our Father, there's a recognition even built into the very beginning of that we are not alone. That we love and serve God with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. That we are in this together. Right? As a local church, we are in this together, And as globally we are in this together, there are people around the world who share your faith and who are pursuing God, and we together pray this prayer with them. We need to battle the individualistic mindset that is so easy for us to have, where we think it's just about us and God. It is not. When you come into a family, when you come into God's family, you also come in with this relationship, this family dynamics, and your relationship with God is about your relationship with God, but it's also about your relationship with other children of God. And we need each other. We get to be a part of the family. So that is what we are praying when we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And once again, I'm going to put the challenge out there. I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer every day for the next 28 days. So there's 4 weeks left. There's 5 Sundays counting this one. There's 4 more Sundays after this one. 28 days to November 22nd. We are praying big prayers. We are praying this revolutionary prayer, this prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. And I encourage you to do that with me. If you're physically able to, do it while you're kneeling. But make this a habit. Find a routine of this. Let's pray this prayer every day. And I hope that our time studying that first phrase has helped make it more meaningful to you when you pray that prayer. So that's what we're trying to do. Let's pray that prayer. We believe prayer works. I'm going to close the sermon out in prayer, and then at the end of that, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. It'll be on the screen behind me. So right now, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time to worship you and to learn from your word. Lord, the fact that we can call you Father, our Father in heaven, is profound. And Lord, we want everyone in this world to know you that way. We know it's possible because of what Jesus has done for us, that through his death on the cross, Lord, you gave us this ability to know you and to have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that would be true of each and every one of us. And Lord, I think of those in the room or those watching online who struggle with the concept of fatherhood when it comes to relating to you. I pray for healing for them. I pray for hope, and Lord, that you might restore wounds that they are experiencing because of this absence or whatever it might be, Lord. You know, I'm so thankful that you are able to apply the prayers as specifically as possible in each and every individual heart. And so, Lord, would you do that? Lord, help us to relate to you as our Father in heaven, Lord, and we want to hallow your name. We want people to know you. We want people around the world to celebrate their created purpose by worshiping you and relating to you and giving you all the glory. We want to do that ourselves, and we want everyone to know you that way as well. So, Lord, please bless your people, Lord, as we progress these next 4 weeks, the next 28 days, Lord, praying this prayer together. I pray that you would work. I pray that you would use these prayers to impact the people around us, impact our church, and impact our world. Lord, prayer is powerful, and so we commit, Lord, together to praying and seeking you in prayer. And I pray that you would bless each and every person as they do that. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Now, if you'd lift up your eyes with me, let's finish our time by praying the Lord's Prayer together. It's there on the screen. So here we go. I'll start us out, and you just follow along with us. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.